Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 12. Sayadanuvratapumsam Pashubudhiravibhidyate Anya Esha Titanyoham Iti Veda Katasati Sa, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yada, when? Anuratha, favorable or pleased. Pumsam, of the conditioned souls. Pashubuddhi, the animalistic conception of life. I am the Supreme and everyone is God. Vibhidyate is destroyed. Anya, another. Esha, this. Tata, as well as. Anya, another. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Veda, distinction. Gata, having. Asati, which is disastrous. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the Supreme Personality of God is pleased with a living entity because of His devotional service, one becomes a pandit. He's a pandita. And does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore, we are not different from one another. Purport. And Prahlad Maharaj's teachers, demoniac father, asked him how his intelligence had been polluted. Prahlad Maharaj said, as far as I'm concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of my Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of the external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected. And therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God, and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master. But then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants. Demons who think of everyone as a friend or enemy. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy. But Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. The Ishupanishad advises, Ekatvam Anupashyati, a devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart and should also see every living entity as the eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called Ekatvam, oneness. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of this spiritual identity. This is also ekatvam. Thus, conception of ekatvam for the Vaishnav is different from that of the Mayavadi. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakashipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Wow. Therefore he asked, who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you are a small boy, someone must have induced you to think that way, this way. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable towards Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Sa yada nivrataha. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suridam sarva bhutanam. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is pashu buddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks, I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him. This misconception is described in this verse as Beda Gatasati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vivera Surpahoy Krishnara Nityadas. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there can be no questions of enmity or friendship. One actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others, such as the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savasya Chaham Ridhi Shani Vishto Matakasmridhira Gyanam Apoanam Cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different direction, dictation, to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotee challenges the authorities of the Supreme, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service, life after life, and are punished by the laws of nature. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tesham satatam yuktanam vajantam priti purvakam didam buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to and worship me with love, I give the understanding to, by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under the different directions of the Lord, who directs each living entity according to his mentality. Whether the Supreme Personality of God is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pandit and does not make distinctions between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. So, if one stops trying to become God, then there's a possibility of understanding Krishna and understanding everyone and everything else in relation to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Jnana Vijnana Triptadma Kutasya Vijitendriha Yukti Sate Yogi Samalastrasma Kanshanha. That a person is said to be situated in transcendence and said to be self-realized when he looks upon everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold is the same. Jnana Vijnana. So Jnana means we're acquiring theoretical knowledge about this, that everyone is actually Krishna's servant. So we're hearing this knowledge, and then there's Vijnana. Well, we apply it. So the association of devotees is necessary so we can apply the philosophy. And that application is service to the devotees. In the material world, people render service to those they think are part of the same family, or the same community, or the same nation, or something like that. But for a devotee, service is meant for Krishna and for those in relation to Krishna. So Jnana Vijnana Triptadma, satisfied. In the material world, by their people's service, they're never satisfied. Because their service is not towards others, it's towards material desire. In the quest to solve our problems, we get our soldiers, our allies. And what is the problem? What is the actual problem that everyone is trying to solve? Basically speaking, the most basic problem is to fill up the stomach every day. Or they say in Spanish, barriga llena, corazón contento. When the stomach is full, the heart is satisfied. So this is the most basic problem that people are working towards, satisfying the unbridled senses. But there's no real, people are thinking they're making progress. They're making progress towards hell, that's for sure. But as far as any permanent progress, that's only an illusion. Because it's punas charvata charvanana. We fill the stomach today, tomorrow will be empty again. And even if it's not empty, we still fill it up till it comes, something comes out our ears. So this, as Krishna says, dumena vriyate vanir yatardar shamalena cha. Because we're covered by the illusory energy, therefore we see things incorrectly. We see our goal in life is to satisfy our senses until the end of our lives. If we can do that, we think we had a successful life. If at the end of our life we have a big feast, then we think, oh, this is a life worth living. So we're covered, we don't know actually Vishnu. We don't know that the actual goal life is to come to serve with Krishna. Because that actually is progress towards eternal happiness, eternal consciousness, in reality of who we actually are, who everyone else is, and who the Supreme is. But because Avritam jnana etena jnani no nityavarena kamarupena kundiya dusprena analena cha. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So people don't realize that actually they're just serving the impulses of their senses. But because they're in ignorance, thinking that they are their senses, they think it's perfectly alright. They think it's perfectly natural. But they don't realize where it's heading them. Adanta gobhira vishitam tamizram. Into darkness. It's not alright. It's not alright if someone in the human form of life with an opportunity towards liberation, suddenly, or doesn't take advantage of that opportunity, and winds up as a mouse in someone's house. That's not alright. It's not auspicious. It's not progressive. It's not liberating. It's a very unfortunate consequence of ignorance. Therefore, as it mentions here, that one should try to see a katva, how everyone is one, and what is one interest that everyone has. The one interest is ita tora mula nishe janena triptyanti taskanda bujo pushaka pranaharascha jitendriyanam tatayva sarvahayam atiteja. If you put the water at the root, then the water goes to all the leaves and branches. And if you supply food to the stomach, it goes to all the different parts of the body. And if one serves Krishna, the demigods, and all other living entities are benefit. So rather than be miserly, try to water each leaf of the tree, why not water the roof and root and benefit all the leaves, benefit the whole tree? So rather than being envious of others and try to gratify only our own desires at the cost of other living entities, then why not serve the Supreme and benefit all living entities? Do good for everyone. Why be miserly, creep on others? Why not do something which is loving for everyone, beneficial for everyone? Why be envious of some and so-called appreciate others? So what is the solution? Now we're being dragged by our senses to a certain degree and we want to become Krishna conscious. What is the problem? What is the thing that we have to do to actually make progress towards Krishna consciousness? So Krishna says he'll come back in the next yuga and tell us. No. In the next verse Krishna tells us. He doesn't wait until we come to the next yuga. He says, Indriyani mano buddhir asidishtanam uchate aitarabhu mahajyatyesha gyanam avritideyna. The senses, the mind, the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders them. So we have to find out where the enemy is hiding, where he has captured the strategic places in our body, so we know how to defeat the enemy. So Krishna says lust is sitting in the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. So how does it work? What is the root cause? What do we have to do to overcome our being influenced by lust, anger, and greed, delusion, and all the other unfavorable states of consciousness? What do we have to do? Does anyone know? Do you know? Yeah. Yes, that's a good start. But before you chant Hare Krishna, what do you have to do? Yes.
Approach the one who has the knowledge of the secret truth, and so we should serve him and inquire from him.
Yeah, first you have to inquire. We have to hear. So hearing. Hearing is the basic principle of conditioning, becoming conditioning, or becoming liberated. It's depending on what we're hearing. If we want to become liberated, we have to hear from Krishna and his representatives. And if we want to become conditioned, we can hear from everyone else. Of course, we can also hear practical things for our service from others, so we can utilize them in Krishna's service, but basically we should hear in relationship to Krishna. When we hear, everyone is, what is modern society based upon? It's based upon glorification, worship, just like we hear we're trying to glorify Krishna. We're trying to worship Krishna. We're chanting Krishna's glories. So in the material world, everyone else also chanting glories. Glory is a material existence. all based upon sense gratification. The wonders, the glories, the magnificence of eating. How many wonderful things you can eat. And every culture, they just glorify all these wonderful things. Nowadays, they glorify eating insects. How healthy it is. Insects are very nutritious. So they fry, what do they call? Grasshoppers. You can have instead of having a samosa or a gulab jamun, you can eat a grasshopper. Fried. Cooked in, hopefully they cook them in ghee. Usually they cook them in oil, I'm sure. And that's what people glorify, the wonder of eating this or eating that, whether it be grasshoppers or pizza or ice cream or lasagna or whatever. Everyone, and therefore people become, as the mind becomes filled with this idea, then lust is transferred to the senses, because that's what the mind is connected to. It is connected to the senses. And then the senses become lusty. I gotta taste it. It sounds wonderful. Everyone else has written, telling me how, you know, on Facebook with so many likes for this, so I gotta try it out, see for myself, experience for myself what it's like. And then we eat it. Whatever it may be. And in order to eat it, we need intelligence. We have to, as Prabhupada said, one man is asking another man, are you actually intelligent? So he's checking his pockets to see if he has money. Because if he has money, then he can get the things necessary to gratify his senses. So if he has money, he can go out and buy something, buy that 15 flavored ice cream cone, and eat it, and experience it, and go, ah, oh, I'm in Vaikuntha. Or maybe heaven, I don't know. So, the intelligence then becomes this repository of all kinds of lusty desires. I gotta find out how to get that thing. I gotta go and get it. I gotta utilize my active senses in order to satisfy my knowledge acquiring senses, to experience it. And it's all under the false ego, that if my senses are satisfied, then I'll be satisfied. And if my senses aren't satisfied, the mind will go, wow, what are you doing? What are you not trying to satisfy your senses? I'm going to bother you all day long. Boo! Gratify your senses, you rascal. Take care of your tongue, your belly, whatever else. You know, do it. Go for it. Work. I don't want to do it. Ah, you got to do it. I'll never let you go. I'll stop bothering you. In your dreams, I'll haunt you. Do it. Work. Gratify your senses, you rascal. You're a servant. Serve your senses. Don't be puffed up. Remain humble. Servant to your senses. So the false ego drives one to utilize one's intelligence to gratify the demands of the senses. But there's another way out. Tasmatmam indriyanya do niyamya varatarshava patmanam pradihiyena jnana vijnana nashana. One could also engage the senses in Krishna's service. Regulate them. Chant certain number of rounds a day, follow four eight principles, get up early, come to Mangalarti, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, serve Krishna during the day. We can also regulate our senses, engage him in Krishna's service. And then Krishna, as he appears to us, Indriyani Mano Buddhir, actually Indriyani Puranyapur, Indriyavya Puramana, Manasastu Purar Buddhir, Yobude Puratastu Saha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So we're superior to all these dictations. We don't have to follow them. We can actually choose a higher path if we hear from the authoritative sources and engage our intelligence in serving those instructions rather than the dictation of our mind and senses. Then the result is one comes in contact with Krishna, and one comes in contact with Krishna, one becomes blissful, and that bliss will burn away the illusory consciousness. like the fire, blazing fire is turning fire into ashes, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions to our past activities. Therefore, the conclusion is, evam bhude param bhudva samstavyatmanamatmanaha kehi shatru mahabaho kamarupam dharasada. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower by the higher, lower self by the higher, and thus conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So the lower self is our false ego, which is not ourselves. And the higher self is the soul and the super soul. That's the real self and the real object of our worship and service. So we hear from the proper sources, the authoritative sources, we hear from Krishna and his representatives, and we engage our senses and mind and intelligence in that service, then the result is that we become conscious of Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself to us, and we become blissful, and we'll get a higher taste, and material sense gratification will seem tuchava, or insignificant. And when that comes about, we become prasanatma, or at least on the path of prasanatma, joyfulness, and then samaksarveshu bhuteshu, we can see all the entities as Krishna's servants, rather than competitors to get the means for sense gratification, competing with each other, who's going to get the most wealth, the most popularity, the most following, whatever else. Rather than competing on that level, compete, who's going to satisfy Krishna the most? That everyone has the same purpose of life, the same goal of life, to satisfy Krishna. And if someone is doing better in gratifying Krishna, and only Krishna knows if he's happy by our service, but if someone is doing something which appears to be more satisfying to Krishna, then one can learn from that devotee, because we're trying to do the same thing. And if Krishna is happy, then everyone equally shares the benefit. Everyone participating equally gets the benefit. If Radharani is embracing Krishna, the gopis, they experience the happiness of Radharani and Krishna embracing millions of times more than Radha and Krishna experience happiness. So it's not that the gopis are envious, why is Radharani embracing Krishna? I should be embracing Krishna. No, they think if Radha and Krishna embrace Krishna, if Radha embraces Krishna or Krishna embraces Radha, then my benefit is millions of times greater, although they don't think about their own benefit. They only think that their purpose is to make Radha and Krishna happy, and by doing that loving attitude, they become even happier than Radha and Krishna. And Radha, when she sees her servants are pleasing Krishna, and Krishna is pleased by their servant, she becomes 10 million times more happy than her servants are. So there is a competition, who can make the other person happier. And the more you engage in that competition, then the more everyone wins. So one actually can give up this conception, I must control material energy, I must get more than everyone else, I must be something special in the material world, profit, adoration, distinction, and instead thinks that whatever I have, I should utilize in Krishna's service, for the benefit of Krishna and for the benefit of all living entities, then he actually makes a success of his life and can actually enter in pure devotional service rather than just ordinary devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Serving Krishna is like putting food in the stomach or watering the root. Why some people begrudge? They don't like that you may serve Krishna if they are also getting nourishment from the same Krishna.
Because they're envious of Krishna. Just like the finger, probably gives the example of the finger. It doesn't want to give the food to the stomach, it wants to enjoy it itself. Whatever enjoyment it can get, that's what it wants. It doesn't want to give it to anyone else. It's selfish. It's a creeper. Because Because that's why we came to the material world, to be the center. And at any cost, we're going to be the center. We're going to be, rather being served, we want to be served, although we can be served. But we don't want to accept the philosophy, the reality of the situation. So that's just envy. Causes reluctance. Or the Prabhupada said, stubbornness. Yes.
This philosophy also can be misused. I can say that, okay, I serve Krishna, I'm putting all the food in the stomach, so I don't need to do anything else. I don't have to follow any other rules or laws.
That's right. Devarsha Bhutatma Rinam Pitrina Vikinkaro Nama Rinam Charajan Sarvatmani Yaksharanam Sharanya Katomukam Dhamparitya Kartum. Yes, that's right. But you actually have to know what Krishna wants, though. Not what your mind tells you Krishna wants. You have to find out from Guru Sahib Shastra, has been confirmed by the Super Soul. And that's reality. Then you're not obliged to do anything else except what Krishna wants. Anything else?
I'm a little confused, puzzled, because on many places I heard from Prabhupada lectures that the process of bhakti is so powerful, that it cannot be checked by anything. So, but then on the other side, I hear that in Nectar of Devotion is mentioned mixed devotional service and serving in the three modes of material nature. So, could you somehow consolidate this?
Yeah, well, we have to accept bhakti. It's like we're hearing these instructions, so we have to accept them and apply them, and then bhakti will manifest itself. But if we don't hear them, we don't remember them, we don't understand them, we don't apply them, then where is bhakti? Then we're simply following the dictation, continuing following the dictation of our mind and senses. So we have to understand what is bhakti and how to apply it in our different dealings. What is pure devotional service? So that's why we're here, to try to understand, try to see what we're doing right, try to see what we're doing wrong. So we can stop doing what we're doing wrong and do more what we're doing right. That's a gradual process. Surrender. Pranipatena. Anything else? Yes?
When it's said that like soul is life of the body, the super soul is life of the soul.
Yeah.
Is that also meant in that concept, like stomach, if you feel stomach, you also feel finger, for example.
Yeah, that's right. If you serve Krishna, the soul is actually served. When the soul is serving Krishna, then the soul is actually getting food. Soul may be the source of energy in the body, but he gets the energy from Krishna. Soul is not an independent source of anything. Krishna is the original source. But if the soul doesn't put his energy in serving Krishna, then he'll
shrink.
Well, he can't get any smaller than he is. Then he's depriving himself at least of the spiritual energy. Material energy, according to his karma, will be supplied by Krishna, but he won't be in the spiritual energy, that's all. Instead of serving Krishna, he'll be simply serving his karma. Alright, thank you very much. Grandarash Madhagavatam Kijai.